Resurrection song, all right.
It's just a little bit vocally, but we're going to go for it. If you're glad he rose again, say amen. He conquered death for you and me. We're going to sing about that.
So much for that. We can just dismiss in prayer now. Praise the Lord. Thank you guys for that. Well, I want to do part two tonight that we started last Sunday night. And if you were here, we talked about how God sometimes in His Word is silent. And how many of y'all remember that? It seems like last Sunday night's a long time ago. And sometimes when I get back up to preach, I'm like, boy, there's been a lot happened since last Sunday night. A lot happened in our world. A lot happened in our jobs, in our lives. And I'd like for you to begin with me tonight, if you would. And we're going to be turning around our Bibles just a little bit. And I don't want to keep you real long. I told Miss Cindy, I said, as I was leaving, let's tell you our private conversations here. But I said, I don't want to preach long tonight. I don't want to wear the people out. And she said, well, honey, if they got ready and got out, they don't want to go home that fast, so be careful. And when she said that, I got in the van, I was driving, I said, I hate when she's right sometimes. Amen. But I am not going to preach real long, but I do want to share with you some things in the Word of God. We talked about where Jesus is silent to what He is silent. We looked at this a little bit last week, and I just want to give you part two because it's several verses in Scripture where God Himself is silent. And just by way of review, you know, we know in the Bible that there are times when God is loud. We know that there is thunder. We know the Bible describes even the sound of the Lord as many waters. We know we have some descriptions in Scripture of the Lord and His power and His might. We think of a mighty rushing wind. We think of the sound of a mighty ocean or a mighty wave. Or we think of the sounds of nature being very loud. We know that this is the case. But there's also times when the Lord also speaks in a still small voice. There are times, even in Scripture, where the Lord is silent. And I find silence to be a very powerful thing. In fact, when we read the Scriptures, and we're going to look tonight at really just a couple of things, and that is, what makes the Lord silent, and then why is He silent? And then we're going to close with, to what is He not silent? What is it that causes the Lord to speak up? And I mentioned this a little bit last week. We'll begin tonight in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, if you'll turn with me there. We'll drop down to verse 22. And we're going to talk first of all tonight about what makes Him silent. What are some of the accounts of Scripture? And this is just the accounts that the Lord gives us. Now, here's the two questions that I want to ask as we look at this morning's sermon and then tonight's sermon. And this is going to be I'm not going to extend this series out. This is just part two. This will be the last part of this. But here is the question that is begged. And I know I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd and maybe those who are listening online who will listen. Some go back and listen. I went to home today and listened to two different messages on my television that people are doing Facebook Live. I appreciate them. But here's the question that we need to ask as we think this morning of Lord help us. And that is these two questions. And I'm going to repeat these tonight. One is do we want the Lord's help? That's question number one. I think that's an obvious question, but I'm going to ask it tonight. I'm going to ask it of myself. I want to ask it of maybe those who are watching, those who have gathered here. Do we want the Lord's help? And then the second question with tonight's message, and I want it in my own life, and that is this: do we care if the Lord is silent? It really matters not if we don't care, if we don't want His help and we don't care if He's silent, these messages will fall on deaf ears. And in fact, if you read the prophets in the Old Testament, there were times where they preached, "Thus saith the Lord," even though knowing they would fall on deaf ears at that time. Think of Jeremiah. Think of the Lamentations, the book of Lamentations, where cries out to God, and God's own people did not hear. In fact, sometimes they literally would just hold their hand. They would plug their ears, what we'd say today. They didn't want to hear what the prophet said. In fact, Jesus in the Gospels said, if you would have listened to the prophets, if you'd have paid attention to them, in the volume of the book it is written of me, they didn't want to hear Christ because the prophets prophesied of Christ. He was the very fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And so we have to ask the question tonight, do we want His help? Have you ever somebody tried to help you and you really didn't want their help? They said, "Hey, let me help you." I said, "I'm good, I'm fine, it's all right." Either out of pride or because maybe you don't like that person or because maybe you really don't need their help. Can I say this to you tonight? We shouldn't have pride with God, and we may think we got to figure it out, but how many of y'all know this? We all need God's help tonight. And the question has to be asked, do we want His help? Do we want His help? And then if He's silent, do we care? You may know somebody's kind of a quiet person, and do you care if they're quiet? There are certain people that if they're quiet, I'm like, "Well, good, I didn't want to talk to them anyway." We don't like to say, "Well, they're quiet. They were bulled up. They were mad. They were upset. They didn't speak. I don't know what the problem is, but that's fine. I'm going to go on." And that's one thing if it's a person. It's one thing if it's even a family member or a loved one, but it's quite another if we don't care if God is silent. It ought to greatly concern us tonight that if we call upon the God of heaven, and heaven would be shut up to us. I'm concerned tonight that many people don't want God's help, nor do they care if He's quiet. We have to ask ourselves that tonight. I thank You showing that by being in church tonight. What makes Him silent? Let's look at, first of all, one of the things that make Him silent is the way mankind treats Him. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 1. We know these verses, very famous verses. It says, "How long," I've mentioned this last week, and just by way of review, it says here, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." That is a very scathing, We believe in kindness, and Christ teaches us kindness. But you understand, when you read Scripture, though, there are times when the Lord just absolutely nails us. And He says here, it says, "Fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called." Look what it says here, verse 24. "I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded." I always think about, if you've ever had that feeling of going to shake somebody's hand and for whatever reason they won't shake your hand, or you speak and they won't speak, or you try to be a help to them and encouragement to them, and they don't want that. Look what he says. "But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof." To me, a scary statement's made in verse 26. I remember as a young backslidden teenager reading this and being under great conviction. I should say, verse 26, "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will" what? "Not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." See, I think sometimes we kind of treat, I heard somebody the other day, "He's not a man and he's not upstairs." I'm going to say it again. He's not a man and he's not upstairs. You see that here in Southern West Virginia culture. "Yeah, I had a good talk with the man upstairs." I'm like, "What, did your old uncle move upstairs or something? What are you talking about?" God is not the man upstairs. He is the Lord. And He's greatly to be feared. And we see here that the Lord is, when we treat Him as the man upstairs, and I know I'm talking to the crowd tonight, that probably makes you cringe to hear somebody say that. And I don't know that people always mean it as bad as I take it, but let me say this to you tonight. I remember several years ago when Christian rap came out, and I sat and watched a former contemporary star go into Christian rap, and he did a whole song called "JC Is in the House." I almost threw a, if I hadn't paid so much money for my television, I'd have thrown a shoe at it. I thought, he's more than JC, and he's not just in the house. He is the Lord. I mean, somewhere along the line, we've got to get our reverence for Almighty God back. And so we see in Scripture that one thing that makes God silent is men's contempt and their hatred and their variance. You read the Scripture, you'll see words like that toward God. God said, "I stretched out my hand and you didn't want me. And so now when it comes time that you need me and you want me," let me say this to you tonight. I wonder sometimes if we realize we need God, or we just kind of want God like he's a slot machine. "Now, Lord, you know, I've had some sickness and I've had some financial problems. And now, Lord, here I come. I need you." Instead of wanting God. God wants us to want Him, and it makes heaven silent. There's another place also, if you take your Bible, and we'll turn around just a few places. Let's try to find the book of Amos. The book of Amos. Go to Obadiah and go backwards. Amos chapter 8. There's several places we could look. I can give you a few more of these. But what is it that makes heaven silent? I would encourage you to do a word study. You'll see that the Lord is silent sometimes. Not only man's contempt, but then we also think, and this is one that our culture is eat up with, that even the best of Christians battle this. I want you to look at chapter 8 of Amos, verse 4 through 12. "Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit?" Here's the way we would say this today in America, in our culture, in Appalachian hillbilly language: ripping people off. "That he may buy the poor for silver," that we may buy, verse 6, "that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and every one mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out of of drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. And I will turn your feast into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. I'll bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof is a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Now, if you read that in its context, and you read all of that, there is a famine. You know, we have the song in our, we sing it in choir all the time. There's a famine in the land, not of bread or of water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. Not that the word of the Lord is not preached, but they don't want to hear it. And here we see that the reason that the Lord shuts up heaven here and is silent, I don't even like using those words that way, but since and shall not find it, is because one simple thing, man's selfishness. God does not work with selfishness. It just doesn't. You never see the power and the beauty and the love and the mercy and the grace. In fact, if you think of love and mercy and grace, you think of graciousness. You think of giving. You think of letting go. You think of trusting God. You don't think of selfishness. In fact, when you think of a good, godly Christian in your mind, you maybe have a grandparent, maybe somebody's already with the Lord. He said, brother, that's my mama, my dad, whoever it was in your life, my great, my aunt. My mom talks about my grandmother on her side, that she's my grandma Ellison, and I never met her. I think she passed away before I was even born, when I was very small. And my mom still to this day talks very highly of her. And one of the things that she talks about is how giving she was. That she was a loving, giving, godly, and wanted the best for. In fact, when you think of a Christian, one of the first things that you think of is, hey, man, you can't be selfish. What do we teach our little children when they're tiny? You can't be selfish. Don't be selfish. It's one of the worst traits that mankind can have. And y'all know this, we live in a selfish time. I mean, in fact, many of us battle this. When's the last time you told yourself no to anything? We're usually upset if we don't get it right when we want it. I catch myself like, oh, man, I'm aggravated because it's not going my way. And here we see that God is silent to that. And sometimes when we see Scripture, you can read that whole account here. It's a pretty scathing account, even against God's own people. And I know there's some other meanings to this as well. But we think of man's contempt, man's selfishness. We think of man's sin. We think when the Scripture teaches us about man's sin. Let's look at a simple verse back in Isaiah. Let's go back there real quickly, if you would. I'm going to just give you a few verses tonight. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 15. I'll give you just a second here to get this. Simple verse. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15. And when ye spread forth, verse 15, chapter 1 says, when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Let me tell you what, church, tonight, when you start reading the Bible and really reading it and studying it, somebody the other day mentioned, like, well, I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm going to tell you what we need to be. We need to do everything we can to become more Bible scholars. There's a lot in this book. In fact, when I read it, I'm like, man, I study it and read it all the time. But I'm all the time, when you read those verses right here, here we say that you can't be in sin. I hear people all the time that talk about getting a hold of God. I'm thinking, honey, you're living like a devil. You need to get forgiveness of your sin before you're going to try to get a hold of the Lord. That's why I see these TV evangelists and these people on television. I'm like, man, these are charlatans. You cannot live in open, rebellious sin. And act like you're okay and everything's all right. You're just going to seek God and have His power in your life. It doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way for God's people. It didn't work that way for David. Hey, listen, it's not going to work that way for us tonight. And it makes heaven silent. Man's sin. Now, that doesn't mean that God can't overcome sin. That doesn't mean that God doesn't work in spite of sin. That doesn't mean because we've sinned we can't get forgiveness. But listen, you cannot have unconfessed sin and be that is all right. And then everything is okay. Can I say this to you tonight? One of the things that's hurt our churches in America, and especially our Bible-believing churches, our Baptist churches, is open sin. Folks not confessing sin. You're nowhere going to see God work where there is just unrepentant sin. It's just not going to happen. And I think some of the reasons we don't really care if the Lord speaks is because You know, you ever had maybe a grandparent? And I knew that I had certain grandparents. I knew if I got in their presence, I was going to hear about something I need to work on. You need to get your hair cut, son. Tuck your shirt. If I catch you without your shirt tucked in. Now, I know y'all may not have that. In fact, I was telling somebody the other day, my granddad hated this with a passion. And I still to this day, bothers me. He hated when somebody drug their feet when they walked. He hated that. And he preached at me from the time, and he'd say, pick up your feet. He said, only a lazy man does that. Pick up your feet when you walk. And even this day, if I'm walking in the snow, I look behind me and make sure I ain't dragging my feet. He stayed on me. And I knew, you know what I did? If I was maybe being lazy or I was tired, I wouldn't go near him. I said, I don't want to hear that today. Can I say this to you? He said, brother, that's what you mean. I believe the reason people get out of church and want to hear God, don't want to hear the Bible. Hey, they don't want to go to a funeral service. Hey, they don't want to pay their respects to a loved one. They don't want to hear a Bible verse. Hey, they don't want these things because they know in their heart that they need to get something right with God. And we don't really want God to speak. I mean, it's like going to that teacher. You know you didn't study. You know it was exam day. You know you really should have done better. And you're hoping that that teacher just forgets it. You ever got in trouble when you was growing up? You was at a store. We went to Hills when I was a kid. You acted up in Hills. And your mom said, you're going to get it when you get home. And then you tried to get her to change her mind all the way home. Nobody ever did that. Hey, Mom, you sure look pretty tonight. Try to get their mind off of it because you don't really want her to remember what you've done. Let me say this to you tonight. That sometimes we really want God to be silent because he's going to deal with our sin. And we don't really like being... I hear people say revival. I don't think people want revival, not real revival. They may want a singing group to come in. They may want somebody that's popular to preach or some big name to come in so that they'll feel like they've been entertained. But not real Monday morning in your devotions, nobody around, and God deals with you about some sin in your life. We don't really want that because that's too real to us. And so sometimes... sin makes God silent to us. Let me give you a few more things tonight. Why would God be silent? Now, I like to talk things out. I don't like, you know, if somebody's silent with me, I'm like, hey, hold out, time out, let's get this fixed. You might scream at me, you might want to fuss at me. But let's get this thing settled, especially if it's somebody that I love and I'm close to. I don't like that hanging out in the air. And by the way, when I read my Bible, I find out that that's not really just my thinking. That's what the Bible says. There's a time to get things right. There's a time. Hey, I don't know about you all, but when I go to seek the Lord, I don't want the Lord to like turn his back and not listen to me. Can you imagine going up and let's say you were in the times of Christ and you went to speak to the Lord and the Lord wouldn't speak to you? Would that bother you? It should. I'd like to take your Bible real quickly and turn to John chapter 8. Why would the Lord use silence of all things? One thing is to arouse men's consciousnesses. To arouse our conscience. Look at chapter 8 of John. Chapter 8 of the book of John, the Gospel of John, that great mighty book, one of my favorite books. The Bible says this in John chapter 8, verses 6 and in verse 8. And you can read again all the verses. Here, Jesus forgives an adulteress. And in verse 6, the Bible says this, "This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down." Remember, I mentioned this last week. "And with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not." And then verse 8, "And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground." I've always been fascinated by this whole account of the lady that was in adultery, and Jesus writes, "We're not told." Have y'all been fascinated by it? That's just an interesting. How dramatic must that have possibly been? That they were in such a rage that they were going to publicly stone her, and Christ doesn't preach here. He doesn't say to them. He simply stoops down, and man, what it must have been that they wrote. We're not told. It could have been him just totally ignoring him. It could have been him just being quiet. But here we know this, that he was silent to prick, to arouse, to get to their conscience. He was just quiet. And sometimes that quietness. See, we live in a noisy world. We turn on the music. We got the washing machine going, the dishwasher going, the refrigerator's going, the TV's going, the radio's going, and we don't really want any downtime. I mean, I got to sleep with the fan on. Anybody else like that? We got to have this sound and this noise all the time, all the time, all the time. I really believe this. I think some of that's because we do not want to be alone with our thoughts. It could be that we don't want to be alone with the Lord. He aroused men's consciences. Another thing is, let's turn back in Matthew chapter 15 real quickly tonight. Matthew 15. And in a minute, we're going to look at when he does listen. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 23. Matthew 15 and verse 23. This is just a few verses just to look at here. Why is he silent? To arouse our conscience. Another time is in Matthew 15 and verse 23. If you read that with me, let's look at what it says. We'll start there at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Can you imagine? But his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now here we see he does speak, but he was quiet at first. It's interesting. The pauses, the quietness of our Savior. If you read the gospel accounts, you'll see that there was times when Jesus spoke, there was times when, in fact, you want to say, Jesus, say something. He didn't say anything. And then he did say something. Of course, he's wanting to increase earnestness. Sometimes he's wanting to be quiet. The Bible says in verse 25, Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not. And he is teaching a lesson. He is showing here. Can I say this to you tonight? Here's the basic premise of this, and that is, God does not have to speak just because I want him to speak. God is not obligated to answer, you know. I believe in fact, I've got whole books of questions in my library. I've probably got books with several hundred, maybe thousands of questions. And I love to answer questions. In fact, I'll probably do that in PCA this week. I'll be answering Bible questions. I believe in all that. But there is a time where we don't ask questions. We need to listen to the answer. See, sometimes the Lord just, we need to be, He's not going to always answer every question we have. Because it's not always about getting the question answered. Let me say this to you tonight, church. The atheists, if they had every question answered, that's not really their problem. They act like it is, but that's not really their problem. Because they still have a lot of things they can't explain, like the eyeball and the giraffe and the alligator and the koala and the platypus and the kangaroo. I could go on. They can't answer all those. Why'd they get there? What happened? So they have a lot of things they really don't want to know the answer to. Even if we could answer every single objection of the infidel, they would still not believe if they had every single answer. Because it's not the question that bothers them. It's who is answering that bothers them. You see, it's the Lord who is silent. Another time in right here in this passage as well is he's also teaching her and teaching us, he's silent to teach us humility. Just teach humility. I've been around some people who are really good at being silent, and one thing it'll do, it'll humble you. Well, I'm going to go to that boss, I'm going to give him peace of my mind. Well, they may be quiet, not answer. Then what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to tell God this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. I think people think they're going to stand before God on judgment day, and they're going to be telling God what and giving them a piece of their mind. They're going to pull a Johnny Cochran lawyer, and they're going to set everything straight when they get to heaven. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to hit our face in absolute fear. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to say, "Yeah, God, by the way, why did you let?" And then we think we're going to do that to God Almighty. I think sometimes we forget. And by the way, isn't it the world in which we live? I mean, right now there's blogs, there's websites, there are professors that are tenured that make more money than anybody you probably know of, and all they spend their life doing is questioning Almighty God. And there's going to come, they think that they're going to do that. I'm going to tell you what, many times the Lord is teaching us humility. Sometimes the best thing that ever happened to us is that God didn't jump when we asked Him to. And so that is why He is silent. I could go on this evening. Let me give you a few more things and we'll go home. And that is this. Okay, preacher, you talked about him being silent. I think the scriptures say this. By the way, I've not given all the verse. There's many other places in the book of Job. There's a couple of places, some more places in Matthew. We see all the way through the scriptures. But what causes God to not be silent? I don't know about you all. Can you imagine you really need to get a hold of God and you can't? Have you ever really need to get somebody on the phone and you can't get them? And you look at pick up. You ever done that? I don't know if you've ever done that. It's an emergency. Man, I wish they'd answer the phone. I don't know why, you know. And you ever do that and they pick it up and you start fussing at, why didn't you answer the phone? Well, y'all ain't living much of a life, that's all I know. I must be living a crazy life. But I think we've all done that. Imagine if you go to y'all, something bad happens. It's a tragedy in your life. Man, you call the preacher, you call every Christian you know. Man, you call that person, goes to completely different denominations. Man, if y'all pray at y'all's church, would y'all please pray? And man, you start seeking, and then you get on your knees beside your bed or at your prayer closet, wherever it is you pray, and man, you feel like, man, God's not answered. I can't get a hold of God. Man, wouldn't that be horrible? Wouldn't it be bad to think that I'm trying to seek God? Here's the question tonight. I'll ask it again. Do we want God to speak? Do we want God to not be silent? I'd like to say to Summers County, the commissioners or whoever's in charge of the county, the sheriffs and those who are running, Mercer County, Summers County, I'd like to talk to the policemen. I'd like to talk to the judges and the magistrates. And I'd like to ask them, do you really want the drug problem cleared up? Do you really want that, or are you just saying that to get votes? Do we really want America to be better than it is? Do we really want that? Do we really want our schools to be places where God is uplifted and honored and that you can pray? Do we really want that? I submit tonight, I'm not sure we do. I think this crowd does. But do we really want that? Or do we really want God to be silent? In fact, God, we've got this. We're fine. Let me give you some things tonight that God does speak about. In fact, let's turn right over in the Gospels to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Aren't you glad for the Gospels tonight? Luke chapter 18, real quick, just a few verses here. In Luke chapter 18, we see a prayer that the Lord is not silent to. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 13, and I'll just give you some references here. I won't make you look at all of these tonight. There's so many. You remember in Luke 18 is the publican in the center. In verse 9 says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Man, think about that for a minute. This is what the Lord said to those who trusted in themselves. In other words, what I'm talking about tonight, Lord, we really don't need you to speak. We're fine. We've got it all figured out. We've got it all. We got it. And then what does the Lord say to that crowd? I'll let him speak. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a what? Publican. Not a Republican, a publican. I've been waiting all week to get that joke in, but anyway. Verse 11 said, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. Can you not just see this? You'd have to get some actor to play, some arrogant guy, you know. I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust. I mean, he gets explicit. Adulterers, or even as this publican, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, verse 13, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, y'all know this? What? Be merciful to me, a sinner. How many of y'all remember that verse? Man, that's powerful, isn't it? Think it, just let that sink in. Read it. Go home and read that tonight. If we ever think we're really something, Jesus here, he lifts this up. He said, verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. It is the very crux, fulcrum of Christianity right there. Our Savior is showing that if you think you're all right, to go back to our message tonight, what makes God not silent? To that one who is broken about themselves. That causes God to speak up. In fact, that causes our Savior to use a parable. That causes our Savior to break this down. By the way, you can attack this and you can critique it and you can preach it and teach it and go back and forth. You can do anything you want to. It is the Word of Almighty God. And the Lord is using this to show us, hey, you want God to speak up. You want the Lord to say, the Lord says in verse 14, I tell you, he's speaking here, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. I mean, most of us, we see these, I think we've all got a neighbor, a friend, or I don't know, somebody we went to school with, and it seems like they do the wrong thing, and they get the raise, and they get uplifted, and they get bragged on. You just look and say, man, hey, guys, this is horrible. We live in a world where it seems like the ones who are doing wrong get praised and get blessed, or, you know, everybody gives them. And sometimes you just look, well, that's just not fair. Well, that's just not right. That's not character. The word I use a lot for that, and my kids know this, is cheese ball. I call them cheese balls because I don't want to say what I really want to think. But anyway, well, guess what? The Lord looks at that and says this. He said, this man went down justified. That man that said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's who God listens to, is the penitent. Is the word that we use, the penitent heart. You can't come into church and say, I'll tell you what, I'm going down there, set that people straight and everything. I hope that preacher's got something for me. God, if he's lucky, I might show up. God doesn't work that way. He doesn't have to work that way. That's not the way he works. The prayer of the penitent. I'll give you a few more and we'll close tonight. One is the cry of the widow and orphan. Exodus chapter 22, and we won't turn there tonight, but God hears the cry of the widow. He's not silent with that cry. He's not silent to the cry of the orphan according to Scripture. I hate to tell you, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but God loves those who the world don't. He loves the unlovely. That song we sing, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Hey, that's scripturally sound. God loves everybody. He loves the widow and the orphan. Hey, another time that the Lord is not silent is the voice of a child. The voice of a child. You and I sometimes, you know, children are ignored. I hear about this child trafficking and all these things, and I don't know if people really mean it good, like they're trying to help. I can't tell because they made it politicized. I just do know this. God was for the child before everybody else thought it was cool to be for children. God cares about the one everybody puts on the shelf. God cares about them. He is not silent to the voice of a child. He is not silent to those who have a desire for Him. Here's the question that arises again tonight. Do we want the Lord to speak? Do we want to hear what God says about it? Do we really want that? I mean, we live in a world today where we want to talk about morals, but we don't want to talk about the moral lawgiver. We want to say that it's wrong to steal and to kill and to cheat and to do things that are wrong. We want to talk about that, but we don't want to talk about the one who said that it was wrong. Where do we get that from? It's an amazing thing to me when I hear these politicians speak who act like they just want to deny God on every hand and to deny the very life and to have a baby that's born and it can live a few moments and then kill it. And then behind it is the very law of Moses that we base our laws on. But yet, here's the thing tonight. If we desire Him, we think of the cry of the needy. And then another time that He is not silent is the praise of His people. When we praise God, when we look to God, in fact, when you see in the Old Testament, let's look at one more verse here. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles real quickly. I've been in Chronicles a lot. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. I'll give you just a second, let you write these down. I like this because God likes praise tonight. God wants us to praise Him. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. I'll read these verses. When you get there, say amen. It takes a little while to find it. That's all right. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Listen to this verse now. It says, it came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. You know, after those two sang tonight, we were like, hey, we done got blessed tonight. Praise the Lord. Very early that third morn, Jesus arose. Man, we start praising God. That's, hey, guess what? God wants that. God wants us to, it says, and when they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Hey, that's wonderful. In other words, when you and I praise Him, hey, He makes Himself present there. It really comes down to this. If we want Him, do we want God? You know, Romans chapter 1, talking about the heathen, it says they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. In Proverbs chapter 1, we read earlier, they didn't want God. God stretched out His hand. They said, no, we're good. And the bottom line is this, He is silent, but when He is not silent is when we come to Him and say, oh, we just want to praise You, we want to thank You, we want to look to You, God, we need You. Hey, when we do that tonight, He won't be silent then. When we praise Him and look to Him, and by the way, you say, Brother House, I can't really sing. He knows your heart about it. I'm not that good at, I can't play an instrument, but you can still praise Him. There's all kinds of ways to praise Him tonight. But I wonder, in our lives, do we want Him to speak? I think He speaks to us through His Word. I think He shouts to us through His Word. I think He shows us through His Word. I think He reveals things about Himself to us through His Word. And the more I read His Word, the more I see of Him. In fact, the more I read His Word, the less I think of me and the more I think of Christ. And so tonight, as we close out this, to what He is silent, why He is silent, we've looked at these ways. I hope that you'll look to God tonight and say to the Lord, Lord, don't be silent. God, we need You. Let's all stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight for all that You've done for us. And Lord, I pray as we come, we just wouldn't be silent, that we'd praise You. We'd look to You. We'd serve You like never before. Maybe somebody here tonight, they'd be honest about it. Heaven's been silent toward them. They need to get some things settled and get some things right. Lord, as we look at Your Word, I pray You'd help us tonight. That You'd arouse our conscience, that You'd help us to be earnest with, that You'd teach us humility, that we'd have a broken, we'd be like the publican and pray with a brokenness and a sincerity. It could be that we've let selfishness and sin come into our lives and we don't really want to talk to You because we know we need to get things right. Or maybe be a people that'll listen to You tonight. Please, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. Brother Austin, let's sing a verse.
Page 306.
Let's sing, let's just praise the Lord. We'll close out with, instead of prayer, let's sing, let's just praise the Lord. You know that one? Let's sing, let's just praise the Lord. Hey, praise Him tonight. He hears that praise. Amen, let's praise Him.
Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord.
Now, without the piano, just the voices, let's sing it.
Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven.
Y'all sound good. Let's sing it.
Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord.
And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you.